Well, seeing as the holiday is right around the corner, I thought I'd pull one out of the archives here and teach tonight on the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yay.
The birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to start tonight in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. So just previous to this in recorded history, the birth of John the Baptist occurred, and Mary and Joseph got married. John's birth happened in March of 3 BC, and Mary had conceived just 3 months prior in December of 4 BC. So the verses we're going to start with tonight in Luke 2 start 6 months after the birth of John, which puts us in September of 3 BC. September of 3 BC. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the word tax there means to be registered. And in this case, it was like a census registration for an allegiance to Caesar, because Caesar was about to start his 25th anniversary of rulership. So they were taking a large census to say, hey, in honor of him ruling for 25 years, here's a census. And everybody would have to pledge allegiance to Caesar. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made, and there should be a comma there. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So there were two registrations within a 10-year period. The second occurs around 6 or 7 AD, and it was to actually levy a tax. It wasn't, you know, in that case, it wasn't actual taxation. And this guy, Cyrenius, also known as Quirinius, was literal governor at that point. But right now, he's just on special assignment for this registration. The word governor there is leader or commander or chief. Okay? So, anyway, history does show that at this point there was an enrollment in 3 BC in Rome. Verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So everybody had to go. And they had to go to their own city, the place where they were born. And Joseph also went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of who? Of David. So Judea is a region. Bethlehem is where David is from. So Joseph, being a descendant, had to go there for registration. So the combination of Joseph's lineage being from David, of Mary and Joseph's marriage, and the timing of the registration all work together to create a scenario in which Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, which was prophesied back in Micah. So if you want to look it up sometime, you can look up Micah 5:2. It says that the Redeemer would be born in Bethlehem. And because of this registration, they have to go back there. Verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So it came to pass that while they were there for this registration, she was going to give birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So part of a noble tradition, where this was part of a noble tradition, where the child was salted. They would take these strips of cloth, they would soak them in a salt water, and then they would swaddle the child in those salted clothing. And it was to represent their honesty and their uprightness. And She did this for Jesus because it was God's son. Firstborn is the word used here. She brought forth her firstborn son. It doesn't say her son. It doesn't say her only son. It says her firstborn son. And the reason it says that is because Jesus Christ had siblings. He had brothers and sisters. She gave birth to other children at some point. So he had literal brothers and sisters. And the inn was overbooked due to the registration. Everybody was in town for this, so there was no room there. Verse 8. And there were in the same country, the same area, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And in this same area, centuries earlier, Samuel anoints the shepherd David king. So when David was anointed king, it was in this same area. And that field refers to a farmer's field. So farmers would hire their shepherds in late summertime, early fall, to keep the flocks overnight in their fields for the purpose of fertilization, right? It was the end of the season, and they wanted these, or sorry, coming into the, the end of the season, they wanted these animals to come and harvest or feed there, because then they would poop all over the place. And that would act as fertilization for the farmland. So if this was truly December, as we celebrate it in the traditional sense, it would be really, really cold outside, and nobody would be keeping their livestock out overnight because they would freeze. They would keep them inside in stables and things like that. But the shepherds were outside because, you know, it was September, it was nice, it was a summery, late, early fall evening. And that's where the shepherds are. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the word came upon them means to stood by them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's a very unique situation. A baby lying in a little bed of hay inside a stable area, wrapped in like what they would do for kings, swaddling clothes, this nobility anointment. So this will be the sign. It will look really funny. It won't be something you're used to seeing. This little noble baby lying in a stable of hay, in a hay bed. So that's how they would know. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God, and saying, not singing, boo, just singing. I'm just kidding. But tradition says they were singing, but they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So can you imagine being a shepherd in a field, just kind of hanging out, watching your sheep, you know, chatting it up with the other shepherds, and then all of a sudden an angel appears out of nowhere, shining super bright, gives you this piece of news, and then a whole host of angels appears and praising God. Like, that must have been quite a scene, right? And then they all just, poof, they're gone. And you're like, okay, let's go check out what they told us to check out. That must have been pretty cool. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angel had told them. They came with haste. They were excited. God told them, gave them a message, said, hey, go check this thing out. And they went. They wanted to see and to hear what was going on. And what's really interesting about this time of year is Jesus Christ's birthday fell on a date called Tishri 1. The name of the month was Tishri. It was the first day of that month. And it was sort of like a celebration of, you know, there's a great feast and it's like a new year and everything like that. And so there would have been a lot of excitement in the town. There would have been like a lot of going on and music and trumpeting and hollering and all of this activity. This great celebration was all sort of just, it was part of what was going on, but here was Jesus Christ being born into all this great jubilance and celebration. It's pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool. So you can imagine what they see and they hear coming in, horns and trumpets and all that wonderful stuff. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. So they spread the word. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by who?
The shepherds.
So God didn't send his messengers, his angels, to King Herod. He didn't send his angels or his messengers to high priests. Or really, you know, these religious figures, the wealthiest citizens. He sent that message to humble shepherds, and they were the ones who noised it abroad with great boldness and enthusiasm. How excited they were to learn of the Messiah's birth. Verse 18 again, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished, so 8 days later, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So Jesus Christ is circumcised. Jesus Christ needed to fulfill the law. That's what he came to do. So it was important that he, you know, every little bit of it get fulfilled. So he had to be circumcised. That's what the law said. And the circumcision was a token of the covenant between God and Abraham's seed of a promised Messiah, who Jesus Christ was. So he was the fulfillment of that token from way back when, made to Abraham. And as in the earlier section, when it's revealed to Mary that she will carry God's child, the angel tells her to name him Jesus. And so she does. And verse 22, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And that openeth the womb means it's a firstborn. It's the first one to come out of the mother. Opens that womb for the first time. So every firstborn male belonged to God according to the law. After a month, the parents would go in and they would pay 5 shekels to the priest as a symbol of God's deliverance of the firstborn child at the Passover during the Exodus of Egypt. So this is sort of a tradition that was carried through since that time. When God saved all the Jewish firstborn as part of the 10 plagues, that was symbolic of this great deliverance. And so they would go and they would present this offering as a thanks to God. Verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. 2 turtle doves. That's where it comes from. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. So by revelation, and that he should not see death, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So, you know, how wonderful this is. A man who stood for God, a man who had Holy Spirit. And God was so kind to him to say, listen, you won't die until you see this promised Messiah, until you see this Redeemer. Because he was anxiously awaiting this promise. You know, Israel had been awaiting a Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. This promise was made. And Israel's people were waiting. And here it was. And this guy was going to get to see it. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit, again getting revelation, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So God had made this promise to him, you're not going to die until you see this Redeemer. And here he was, so thankful that God had kept this promise, that he got to see Jesus Christ, the child. And he blessed him and said, he blessed God and said, thank you so much. Now I can die in peace because here is the Redeemer. Here is the Messiah. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What fantastic words. Speaking this by the Holy Spirit. But what fantastic words. Right at the outset, it is mentioned that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles, right? At his, you know, he's a little infant. And God, by revelation, sort of lets that little tidbit out there. And a glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They're like, wow, can you imagine being the parents? This guy picks up your baby and says all these fantastic things. It's like Lion King. Rafiki holds the... Never mind. But yeah, so he's saying all these wonderful things. And it just thrilled their hearts, marveled at those things which were spoken to them. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He's telling Mary this. Mary would need courage to raise a son that so many would speak against. She would ultimately have to witness his sacrifice for all mankind. And he's saying, this will reach the depths of your heart. You know? She was just a teenager when she had Jesus. She had this great responsibility to carry and to deliver and to raise the Messiah as a teenager. And then to see his whole life through and to see all the things that Jesus Christ would A, accomplish, but B, have to suffer, you know, is tremendous. And he's prophesying this to her. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came in that instant. She came in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for a redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Okay? So after, you know, they did all these things according to the law, the stuff that they're supposed to do, they go back home. They go back home. And the time that passes between verses 38, when we're talking about Anna, and 39, when it says that they go back home, a great deal of time passes between those verses. So we're going to go next to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, or in the rising, and are come to worship him." And the word wise men there is magi. They were Gentile priests, religious figures. They were likely Persians. These were people who, like, they were sun worshippers, they were astronomers, they followed the sky and the signs and the stars. But ultimately, it told them about and led them to Jesus Christ. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, when Herod got wind of it, because these wise men, these magi, come saying, "Where is this child? Where is this person that is born king of the Jews?" Uh-oh. Well, who's king? Herod's king. So he's like, "Wait a second, what do you mean? This person born king?" So when Herod hears these things, he is troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So he gets real nervous. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where was this child born? Tell me. He's gathering all the chief priests and scribes together. "You're all the smart people, tell me." Verse 5. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And this is a reference or a quotation from Micah 5:2. "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men," so he calls them privately in, "inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." When did this happen? "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the what?'" For the young child. Young child. And at this point, a year and 3 months had passed since Christ's birth. Okay? He's not just this little baby in a manger anymore. So these wise men that come to give gifts at the scene with the stable and the nativity scene, right? That didn't happen that way. They do come to see Jesus, but it's a little while later. He's a young child. "So go search for him, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." "Let me know when you find him so that, you know, I can come over and worship him." Because that's what Herod wanted to do, right? Worship him. No, he wanted to murder Jesus Christ because he thought he was going to take over. So he goes, yeah, tell him, when you find him, tell me. I'll come and worship him too. Sure. Verse 9, "And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." With exceeding great joy. And we know today that that star was Jupiter, that it was at its rising, that this sign was a sign to them about where they would find Jesus Christ. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they didn't come into a stable, they didn't come into an inn, they came into a house, because this time had passed. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So this is well after his birth. And those gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, these were royal gifts. These were valuable gifts. These were gifts that you would give to a king. And tradition tells us that there are three magi because there are three gifts given, but it doesn't say how many wise men or magi there are, just that they came and they gave gifts. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the wise men take off, and you know, they're actually shown by God in a dream, don't go back that way. Don't go tell Herod. Take a detour. Take the alternate route. They go back into their country. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there, stay there, until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to worship him.
No.
No! To destroy him. So, hey guys, you better get out of here. Because as soon as Herod finds these guys aren't coming back, he's coming looking for him. And verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, under the cover of night, and they left for Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So again, part of the prophecy here was that Jesus Christ would be called out of Egypt, and as a result of Herod trying to seek him out to kill him, they had to retreat there. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was made a fool of, they tricked him, he was exceeding wroth, he was very angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So when the wise men, he figured out the wise men weren't coming back, he laid a death sentence to all the kids in that town and surrounding area, that region and surrounding area. Kill them all. I'll get them one way or another. And he made the decree of 2 years and under, just enough buffer to make sure he really got them. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. So obviously there's a great lament. All these poor babies are being, or children are being killed at the command of Herod. Verse 19, more time passes. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Well, he didn't want to go back to Judea, because, you know, Herod's kid's there instead. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so God wonderfully cares for his son's life. He gives Joseph and Mary direction about when to retreat and then when to come back and where to go. And in each step of the way, fulfilling the prophecy, God knew what was going to happen in his foreknowledge. He knew how it was all going to work out. That's how he made these prophecies. And each step of the way, these things are fulfilled and these prophecies are fulfilled. And then Jesus Christ grows up to be the great man of God that he was. But these are the events that surround the birth of Jesus Christ, which is what we celebrate at Christmas time. It's a recognition of what God did for us in sending us a Savior and sending us a Redeemer.